This time, the kids are welcome to head downstairs to junior church if they would like. Or you're welcome to stay up here and listen to me. And there's a mass exodus now after I said that. Stay, Greg. Last Sunday, if you were here last Sunday, you'll remember that in a sermon, we spoke a little bit about resisting the devil. And he will flee. We have that promise from God. That was a little part of the sermon last Sunday. We talked very briefly about that, resisting Satan, and that promise that if we do that, if we allow ourselves to do that, the enemy will flee. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit more about that today and to talk about what the Word of God says about that, because it's very, very important as we go out and we choose to be disciples of Christ, as we choose to not just be example, but to go out and to witness and to teach and to preach, we need to be living lives free of that bondage of darkness. And I believe with all my heart, according to Scripture, the greatest weapon we have in our fight against the enemy is to maintain an honest, truly honest heart before God. You look at all the men and women in the Bible who did wonderful, miraculous things in the name of God or in the name of Jesus Christ. They lived lives, not perfect lives, but honest lives before God. They lived transparent lives in front. They weren't trying to hide from God. Now, a couple times, they may have tried to run from God because they were scared of the mission or something like that. But it was very evident to God what was going on, and they were very honest with God with why they did what they decided to do or not do. And this morning I'd like to look at two keys to living honestly before God. If we are going to accomplish anything in the kingdom, if we are going to continue to grow in Jesus Christ, we need to have hearts, minds, and spirits that are completely open and completely honest to God. Our relationship with God is never static. It is always advancing, always changing, and hopefully getting richer, deeper, more intimate, week after week after week. If we're going to do what God's called us to do, and we've talked about a lot of that stuff in the last few weeks, we have to have an ongoing advancing relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do we take the next step? How do we get to the level of relationship and ministry that we desire to have, that we've been talking about for the last few weeks? How do we see the New Testament miracles and the power that we see in the New Testament operate in our lives? We are promised that power. We've talked about that. We are promised the same power that Jesus possessed through the Holy Spirit. We can witness miracles happen right before our eyes, lives being changed right before our eyes. How do we get to that kind of relationship with God where we get to witness that stuff daily, weekly, monthly? According to Scripture, I believe the answer is very simple. Well, I shouldn't say simple. The answer is simple. Playing it out is a little bit more difficult. The answer is to turn on the light. Simply turn on the light. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 1, and I want to read the first four verses in the entire Bible. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning, and just try to picture in your mind what things might have looked like right here at the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Try to think about that. Hard to wrap your mind around. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. The very first recorded words of God the Creator is, "Let there be light." Very first thing he speaks in the creation story. You see, darkness has never been a part of God's nature or his character. There's no darkness in God. He's even his creation. First thing he addresses, let's remove the darkness. Let there be light. Jude verse 6. There's only one chapter in Jude, if you don't remember. Jude verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their home, these he kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on that great day. The punishment for leaving God, turning your back on God, is eternal darkness. Now, he doesn't desire that for anyone. But God doesn't live in darkness. He is light. Everything about him is light. Everything is exposed. Everything is true. And if you're not with God, you're going to be in darkness forever. And it's very easy to slip into here on earth without a relationship with God, to spiritually, mentally, physically live in darkness. And there's people that sit in pews like you do Sunday after Sunday after Sunday who still live in darkness because of a lack of relationship with God. Satan has legal access granted by God to dwell in any area of darkness, even areas of darkness that may exist in a Christian's life. He has freedom to roam the earth. We know that. And Colossians 1, verses 13 through 14 reminds us that there are two kingdoms here on earth, and both are places of authority. Verses 13 and 14 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." There's the dominion of darkness, ruled by the enemy, and there is the dominion of light, ruled by Jesus Christ. And we have a choice of where we want to live. We have a choice of which master we want to serve. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world." He makes it very clear. Absolute truth here. No ifs, ands, or buts. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again, but will have the light of life. That is a huge promise. One to underline several times in your Bible. John 8:12. You will never have to live a life in darkness again if you will follow me. Ephesians 1 verse 18 says, "I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people." What's that inheritance? A forever in light. Living in the light of God. Living in the light of God's presence. Wherever God goes, there is light. There's nothing scary about living in light. There's no confusion in light. In darkness, it's very scary. In darkness, it's a confusing place. You don't know where you are all the time. You don't know where you're going all the time. You don't know who's around you in darkness. You don't know the forces of evil that want to harm you in places of darkness. In light, that's all seen. You know exactly who's with you and who's against you. You know exactly who's for you and who's doing things for you. Do not get accustomed to darkness. That's where we get stuck sometimes. We get so used to wanting to try to hide sin in our lives, and we have darkness in and around us. We get accustomed to that, and we get accustomed to living with that. Let me tell you, that breaks your relationship with God. When you are trying to hide something from God, or you are trying to not allow God to have permission to take over an area of your life, that's dark. And man has tried to do that from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned for the very first time, what was their immediate reaction? Let's hide. Let's get in the dark place. Let's not be exposed for who we are and what we've done. So this morning I told you there's only two ways to walk in the light. And you have to do both according to the Word of God. If you want to live a life living in the light, completely having an honest relationship with God, an advancing relationship with God where you are bearing fruit daily, weekly, monthly, where you are continually, year after year, being changed and molded by your Heavenly Father, there's two things you absolutely have to do. Number one is say yes to the Holy Spirit. We don't always like what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us and for us because it requires change. Saying yes to the Holy Spirit. We are supernaturally equipped to respond to the Holy Spirit. That is a gift from God. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." When you give your life to Jesus Christ, we are promised, you will know when it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You will know when it's the voice of Christ. You will be able to differentiate the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's voice versus the enemy. And you will have choices of which voice am I going to follow? Which direction am I going to go? And you have to be able to have the ability to say, yes, I will respond to the Holy Spirit, and I will block out and say no to the forces of darkness. And the Holy Spirit is going to ask you to do things and go places that the world will say, that's crazy. The world will say, you talk funny, you think funny, you're ridiculous for what you do. Why do you waste a perfectly good Sunday morning, a day off, going to worship a God you cannot see? That's the world. For those who listen to the voice of God says, no, I will go. Because this is what I've seen God do in my life. This is what I've seen God do in the lives around me. These are the blessings that He's bestowed upon me. These are the things He's done and why He's done, like John talked about in communion. The love, the kindness, the mercy that He's offered. That is why I don't waste a Sunday morning. That's why I'm starting my week out in worship with my brothers and sisters. John 3, verses 19 through 21 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. What God's expecting there of His people, of His children, is live lives of transparency. Live in light. You have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have confessed your sins before God. Now go and live like it, He says. Live like you're living in the light. It's only men, it's only women who don't want their sin exposed, who stay away from God. Who want to say, yeah, you know, I don't need that. I don't need God. That's for weak-minded, weak-willed people. And they try to say that, you know, I don't need that in my life. I don't need Him. Why? Because if they come to the throne of Jesus Christ, the darkness is going to be exposed inside them. Sin is going to be exposed. In order to cleanse, sin has to be exposed and forgiven. And be granted new life. And in order to do that, we have to say yes to the Holy Spirit. So how do we do that? First, you have to ask the Holy Spirit to shine His light into every dark area of your soul. That's something you need to do privately between you and God. There may be an area of your life you're not even paying any bit of attention to that goes against God and His will. We need to bow our heads in the privacy of your prayer closet, wherever that may be, and ask the Holy Spirit to shine light bright on any and every dark area of your soul, any part of you that goes against the will of God. And then you need to not hide from God's presence. And let me tell you, that can be scary. When your sin is exposed for what it is, and you've come to a realization that, you know what, I've been making decisions for me and has nothing to do with the glory of God, that can be embarrassing. That can be feel guilty. Don't run from God. Don't hide from God. God says, you run to me. I'll heal you. I will cleanse you. I will bring you into the light. And ask God to expose and remove those works of darkness in your life. Any area of life that you constantly find yourself doing over and over and over again, whether it's the way you talk, whether it's the way you react to situations, the way you spend your money, the way you deal with people at work, the way you deal with brothers and sisters in church, who you serve, how you serve, whatever the case may be, God, remove any works of darkness in my life and give the Holy Spirit permission to establish the kingdom of Jesus Christ in your thoughts, in your emotions, and in your physical body. Have a conversation with God and mean it. Say, I give you, Spirit, permission to plant the kingdom of Jesus Christ right here. Put that light in me and let it grow, let it spread, and let it force out any area of darkness in my life. And then finally, after you allow the Holy Spirit to do that, be an accurate reflection of Jesus Christ from this day forward. Be an accurate reflection of who Jesus Christ is in your life. When people see you, there's no question what Jesus is all about, who he is, what his business is about, how he loves, how he forgives, how he shows compassion, how he serves. No question there. And it only happens when the Holy Spirit is growing, living, and breathing in you. I'm telling you, the greatest weapon we can use against the enemy, like I said at the beginning, is to maintain an honest heart before God. And that starts with saying yes to the Holy Spirit. Number two, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to the written Word of God. We have to do these two things. We have to first invite the Holy Spirit to do his work and let him do his work in our life. And we have to let him lead you to the written word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Did you hear that? Nothing else. Your word, the word of God, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You see, prophecy and preaching do not replace the Word. They reveal the Word of God to you. If the only time you're getting the Word of God is through listening to preaching on Sunday morning, you're starving yourself. You're going to be now malnourished of the Word. To get into the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you through the Word of God. Anytime you crack open your Bible, anytime you crack open your Bible and read it, the first thing you need to do is bow your head and ask the Holy Spirit, ask God to guide me through these scriptures and allow me to understand them, burn them on my heart, and allow me to apply them to my life. First time I ever read the Bible from cover to cover, I did one of the, I was 20, 25 years ago. First, I wanted to read the Bible from cover to cover, and I did that. Didn't get a whole lot out of it, because my goal was just to read it from cover to cover. Every day I just got in a scripture, I had one of those reading plans, and my number one goal was to get through chapters whatever through whatever and get that reading done for the day. Some of you are shaking your head. You've been there, done that. Second time was about 10 years later. I decided I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover again. This time I'm going to get something out of it. And every day in my scripture reading, bowed my head, Holy Spirit, guide my heart through these scriptures. And if I don't get through all the chapters, that's okay. It took me a year and a half to read the Bible. It didn't take me a year. But I got a lot more out of it. I read stuff in there, and I read the Bible from cover to cover before. I couldn't remember reading that before. I read a passage in the Bible, and it was talking about Jesus being arrested. And in the middle of that story of Jesus being arrested by us, there's a naked man that runs through the scene. Do you remember that? Have you read that? I didn't remember it. Everything God puts in there is for a reason. Well, there had to be a reason. There's a naked man running down the street. And I looked that up, studied it, preached a sermon about it one time. That's just one out of 100 examples. Things you read in the Bible, and you say, you know, I've read that whole Bible, and I've never read that before. Yes, you have. The Holy Spirit's revealing something new to you that day. Psalms 119, verses 130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I relate to that. I am the simple. Mary will tell you that. I am the simple. And I love when God says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple, which means it doesn't matter what your IQ is. It doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter how many years you have spent in church. The Word of God can be understood by any one of you because of the Holy Spirit. And a message from God can be revealed to any one of you in church. I'm not the only one that can reveal messages from Scripture. Our elders are not the only two who can reveal messages from Scripture. Any one of you can receive something from God, have the Holy Spirit choose to do that, and to share it and to offer it. That's why it's so important to have different teachers, different preachers representing the Word of God, sharing what God's given. I love small group Bible study. I love small group Bible study for this reason. 10 people can sit in a circle and read the same piece of Scripture, and all 10 of them can get something completely different out of that piece of Scripture. And every one of them can be 100% right. It's because the Holy Spirit is speaking differently to all 10 people with a lot of different things going on in their lives, and they need to hear those different things. The Holy Spirit is wonderful when you read the Word of God with Him. You see, the Holy Spirit wrote the Word. Don't forget that. The Holy Spirit wrote every word of this. And the Word and the Spirit is unchangeable. Unchangeable. Life and light come into our lives when they combine on a daily basis. When you combine the Holy Spirit and the Word of God daily, you're going to have lives of light, always. It's kind of hard to do those things of darkness that you once did when you're reading the Word of God. My grandma told me something one time, and I hated her for it for one second, because my grandma was always bugging me about my weight. I've been a chubby kid since day one. And I said, Grandma, I go on these diets and I don't lose weight. I exercise, I don't lose weight, blah, 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 blah. And Grandma said, what are you doing when you're snacking when you're not supposed to be snacking? I said, I don't know, Grandma. Probably watching TV or watching a baseball game or whatever. Read the Word of God while you're snacking and see if you don't put down that snack. That's for me. If your problem is hating on somebody, if your problem is screaming and yelling out of anger all the time, read the Word of God right before you do it. See if that doesn't change your behavior. See if that doesn't change the darkness inside of you, if you are being led by the Holy Spirit. You don't forget, the Pharisees memorized entire books of the Bible. I got scared to death. My first day of Bible college, I had to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. First day of Bible college. That freaked me out. The Pharisees memorized entire books of the Bible, but they resisted the Holy Spirit. Why do you think they did the things they did and made the decisions they did? They were not being guided through the Scripture, no matter how much they memorized. They were not being guided by the Holy Spirit. They were getting out of Scripture what they wanted to get out of Scripture to bring them into more power, to advance their opinion, to advance their cause, having nothing to do with the glory of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Again, the greatest tool, the greatest weapon you will have against darkness is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. John 6:63, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." That's what God wants for you. He wants you to live life. He wants you to live it to the fullest, but He wants you to walk it in light. He doesn't want you to have to walk in darkness, scared, confused, wondering what your purpose is in life. I get so frustrated when young high school or college age people say, "I need to go somewhere and discover who I am." First, I never understood what that meant. I guess because I grew up in church and I knew I was a Christian, and I don't get the whole, "I need to find out who I am." Jesus says, "I can tell you exactly who you are. I can tell you why you exist. I can tell you the life I have in front of you. If you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you through and to the Scriptures, the Word of God." I want to leave you with two last scriptures, and then we're going to get to our invitation. Isaiah 61-3. Highlight these two scriptures. I'm going to give you, highlight them and read them all week long. Arise. Good thing to do the first thing in the morning. Read this scripture. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." I love that piece of scripture. Isaiah 61-3. Read that every day this week, and be reminded of the light that has come to the world, and the glory of the Lord that rises upon you, it says. You don't have to live a day, not one day more, in darkness, in fear, in confusion, when you allow the Holy Spirit to do what God sent Him to do. And the last verse I want to leave you with, John 1:5. You've probably heard it many, many times. "The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Now there's a big promise from God. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. You live in the light, and you stay in the light, and you allow God to be God. Darkness can never overcome you. Those past sins and that past behavior will be vanquished forever once we do what God's called us to do in Scripture today. Say yes to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to walk you through the Word. That's turning on the light, and that's how we turn on the light. And Jesus promises you will never, ever have to walk in darkness again. If that sounds good to you, if that sounds good to live a life that you don't have to live in guilt, live in fear, free from the bondage of sin or what we call bad habits, live in the bondage of being ugly on the inside but pretending like you got everything together on the outside, if you want to be free from that today, you raise your hands in the air and say, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I want to make you Lord of my life. We invite you to come forward this morning and make that proclamation to the world. And invite Jesus Christ into your life. Accept his gift of grace and forgiveness. Be baptized in his baptism and start a new life today under his name, being changed forever by the Holy Spirit. If you've already made that decision, but boy, the road's been tough, and you have fallen into temptation, or you feel guilt in your life right now, I invite you to just bow your head while we sing our closing song. Confess that to God right now. Confess it to him right now and say, I've been living in the darkness long enough. I need to come back to you. I need the Holy Spirit to do what you've sent him to do, Father, and I give you permission to do that in my life. Would you make one of those decisions today? Let's stand and respond to the word of God this morning.